On this episode of DC On Screen, we're going to tell you why you shouldn't be worried about Margot taking a break from Harley Quinn. We've got some set picks from The Flash. We've got an update on that blonde Aquaman rumor, as well as trailer reactions for Titans, Supergirl, Stargirl, and we have so much more than that. Right after these trembling traitors tread the trenches of your ear canal. Welcome into DC On Screen, episode 641. On this podcast, we share our honest opinions about the DC Comics multiverse on film and television. If it has been released, it is fair game, so beware of spoilers. I'm David C. Robertson, and this, the man who sadly misunderstood the intentions behind several attractive women calling him Slender Man, Jason Goss.
There were lawsuits.
Why? Why? They were just being mean.
I won none of them.
Before we get into the news, I would like to remind you that you can go to DCOnScreen.com to find links to our Patreon, where $5 a month gets you access to exclusive content, and $1 a month gets you the show with no ads. We have a new patron to welcome into the fold, Brian Klein. Thank you for your support, Brian.
Hello, and thank you.
Hello, yes. There is also a donate button and a link to our merch store if you would like to support us in other ways. And as always, thank you for any support you can throw our way. This week we have sad news. Mm-hmm. On July 11th, we found out that Robson Rocha, the rising star DC Comics artist, that's been doing Aquaman, passed away very, very suddenly of COVID complications. He was 41 years old. The week before, his family had been asking for help in locating blood donors so he could get a transfusion. Super sad story. Please, for the love of God, go get vaccinated. And even if you are vaccinated, please wear a mask in public. The cases are rising again. The Delta variant is out and about. Please do your best to be careful. This shit is not a joke.
Nope. I'm sorry if you don't have if you have a problem with what we just said. I don't know what to tell you. That's the facts of it. Get the shot and wear a mask. We got to. Also, very sad to hear about him. He was really good.
Oh my God! I followed him on Instagram. He was super talented. It is, you know, it would be sad anyway to lose someone, but man, that guy had some skills.
Oh, he had some mad chops.
Good Lord.
There was a lot of good that was about to come out of that, but you know.
All right. Moving on to the, some might say better news.
I want to say it's got to be uphill, but...
I mean, a lot of us would say so, but there's there's always some naysayers who, you know those people.
Oh, yeah.
So we don't normally care. And me and Jason, we don't care about Rotten Tomatoes on this show, but
charts.
Yeah. It should be noted. The Suicide Squad, James Gunn's The Suicide Squad, launched on Rotten Tomatoes with a 100% perfect score. And now at the time recording...
The Rotten Tomatoes score?
Yeah.
Funny.
Now at the time of this recording, though, it has dipped to 98.
How dare it? Yeah.
57 reviews so far.
That's funny. I mean, the embargo is lifted, I think, as of like today. So That's a real thing. Hey, did you see the like DC Universe Infinite little? I have yet to see any follow through, but I personally got an email seeing if I wanted to see the movie tomorrow night.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. Where can this happen? Well, you know, we're in Birmingham, and apparently Atlanta is where that could happen. So I was like,
yeah.
Yeah. My first thought reading that was like, well, you know, fuck you, Birmingham, for not taking that airport, because. Mm-hmm. We'd have been the metropolis this would have gone to by then. But oh well. I can't make it to Atlanta tomorrow night.
Yeah, I can't either.
Not even a guaranteed ticket. Yeah, it is what it is.
But yeah, I am aware of those screenings.
But there are some advanced screenings, yeah.
Yep, there are.
Well, and it brought to mind, like, there was a contextual problem. Like, you know, a couple of years ago, or several years ago now, when Suicide Squad came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people were seeing it early, there was some indication that it was a problem. Like, well, let's get all the, you know, butts and seats we possibly can, because, you know, we don't think this movie's going to have legs.
Mm-hmm.
We just live in very different times now. And I found it interesting that there's still an early screening aspect to the whole thing.
With a Q&A, no less.
Oh, yeah. An NSFW one.
Yes, in fact. Now, but yeah, I would love to go, but I there's no way you're going to get my ass to Atlanta. I just drove to Atlanta last week. Not doing it. That is...
I just can't make that happen.
I look forward to the 6th when I can watch it in my home on HBO Max, and then we could cast about it almost directly afterward.
Yep.
But yeah, like the critical love for this movie has been impressive. I don't know what it means for how much I like it, because usually if the critics say they love it, I'm like, I might not enjoy that one.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm deeply in an age myself where the word critics is just irrelevant to me.
And yet we are critics.
Not in the sense that we actually matter or are that vindictive.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
We've never trashed a property because they didn't give us good enough, you know, iPads.
That's true. But we can start if you guys are going to give us iPads.
I mean, look, I'm open to it if that's, you know, a thing, but...
Yeah, if you're like Warner Brothers and that's your kink, like if you want us to trash something and in exchange you'll give us iPads, I'll do that shit. I'll be like, the Suicide Squad was terrible. There were dick jokes everywhere.
Hey, look, I'll take a meeting. That's all I'm saying.
Sylvester Stallone as King Shark was not the delight of my lifetime.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to have that moral dilemma in our future, though.
No, every they're not going to give us iPads. And quite frankly, everything I've seen about this movie has made me squeal in delight.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to tell you. Margot Robbie was on Jimmy Kimmel, and she she says, I was with a man who was obsessed with John Cena, so much so that he dressed as John Cena for his 21st birthday. He had a cardboard cutout of John Cena in his bedroom. So I slept in a room for 2 years of my life with a life-size cardboard cutout of John Cena in the room. Sometimes I would wake up in the middle of the night and go, oh, it's just John Cena. It's okay. I remember thinking, now that I'm going to be working with John Cena, should I tell him this, or is that going to be weird? I thought, I'm just going to keep that to myself. That would be a weird way to start out a working relationship and friendship. Then, five seconds later, I was like, I used to sleep in a room with a life-size cutout of you.
That sounds
right.
And now I know there's
very little to weird out this guy.
Dude, he used to go
to... It's not news, but I enjoyed the hell out of it.
He used to go to city in wrestling matches with people holding up live cutouts of him.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be right.
Yeah,
I think
he's got it.
He's acclimated.
Right. Now, this story, actually, I saw upset some people. People were starting to get a little worried about this. Margot Robbie saying that she doesn't have any... Like, there were headlines that came out that were like, oh, Margot Robbie says she doesn't know when Harley Quinn will show up again. But the context of it is... It was back-to-back filming Birds of Prey and then the Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I was kind of like, oof, I need a break from Harley because she's exhausting. I don't know when we're next going to see her. I'm just as intrigued as everyone else. So we know she's taking a break, but we also know that she's like hell hacking Warner Brothers to get Ivy into the next Harley Quinn movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because she wants to showcase that relationship. I'm down with that.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I love the Harley and Ivy relationship, and I love Margot Robbie as Harley. So yes, please. I have not taken anything she said to mean we're not doing Harley Quinn movies anymore.
No, if anything out of that, what I take from it is She has producer credits.
Yeah.
So
I'm like, not sure if she does on the Suicide Squad.
That maybe no, but Birds of Prey, yes. And I would love for her to be involved in actually casting Ivy.
Oh yeah, I'm down.
Look, it may go wrong. Let's see it. I don't know. I don't know what Margot's actual casting abilities are, but I'm willing to give her a shot.
Yeah. Did you see the Gail Simone thing? Where like
Possibly. She was which one?
I think she even wound up deleting.
Was she talking about bears or Tom Taylor?
She was talking. No, she was she was talking about Birds of Prey. She said that she was going to go into it basically, but like the producers and writers and everybody creatively involved on Birds of Prey wanted a more comics accurate Cassandra Cain, and Warner Brothers wasn't having it.
Oh no, I did see that. Yeah, I did.
That's some bullshit, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Release the Yan cut. I don't think there's a discernible Yan cut at this point. They got to her early. They're like, no, SWAT.
I mean, possibly. I can't, in good faith with my track record, speculate on such matters.
I mean, you look at the movie, man. I loved Birds of Prey. I enjoyed it immensely.
Mm-hmm. I watched it several times and they were all fantastic.
But there's fantabulous. No denying that,
sorry,
that Huntress's story was hacked to bits.
Yeah.
There's more to it than what we saw for sure.
I think there's like another 20 minutes of that film on the floor that would shine.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right. So there was... The anti James Gunn people were out and about while we were away, and
why God why? But okay,
well,
I mean,
because the headline said James Gunn believes superhero movies are mostly boring now.
No, I read that quote and no, that's not what happened. Yeah.
Well, it is kind of what happened. He was talking to SFX magazine. And he says they're mostly boring to me right now. Then he laughs and he says, I loved them at the beginning and there are still people trying to do different things. So it's not a 100% rule, but a lot of them are boring. For more context, we go over to the Irish Times where he says, quote, we know about the way cowboy films went and the way war films went. I don't know. I think you don't have to be a genius to put two and two together and see that there's a cycle to those sorts of films, you know, and that the only hope for the future of the comic book and superhero films is to change them up. They're really dumb and they're mostly boring for me right now. I loved them at the beginning. I was really excited when they first started making those movies. It was about the visual effects. When I saw Superman as a kid, I still love that movie. Okay, I know that's a guy on wires and blue screen with this sort of crappy visual effects. And then when Iron Man came out, I was in. You're able to make a guy fly around who looks like a guy flying around. And that was a beautiful thing to be able to do. But if the movies don't change, it's going to get really, really boring. And a lot of people were yelling, he's promoting a comic book movie while trashing comic book movies.
I mean, but yes, he is. Also, not quite.
But that's look, man, he's a creative. That is exactly the type of creative I want in charge of creating comic book movies. I want people like James Gunn, like Zack Snyder, like, you know, who look and go, you know what? I'm bored with this now. We've got to change it up or it's going to get bad quick. I think that's the way to go about it. Those types of people are the perfect people to be taking on comic book films.
Yeah. I mean, there's
people who love the genre but don't want it to get stale.
Yeah. There's perspective there that is appreciable. Like, someone who's just happy to do the next thing and keep it going is, it's good in their own right. But somebody who actually kind of sees the whole long term perspective of it and says, yeah, well, we have to change some things. That's not like a person who's, as the headline would read, like, bored with the current state of things. Like, yeah, it's more nuanced. Everything's more nuanced than whatever the hell the headline says. It's basically the reason they call it a headline.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, of course he's bored. He's done a few of these now. Mm-hmm. I hope he pushes and really, like, makes something, you know, spectacular and new going forward. I hope this is what we're getting, you know, coming out in either tomorrow or a few days, depending on now, have you, where you can see it.
Have you seen the giant Starro statue in London?
I have. And that that was glorious. I really like, what's the big, like the Eye of London thing?
I don't know.
The big circular thing. I kind of wish they had attached it to that because you can see it from fucking everywhere.
Yeah, you're talking about like the Ferris wheel thing?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. The Ferris wheel? I think it's a Ferris wheel. I think they call it the Eye of London, though.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a big old fuck off circular thing in the middle of that landscape. Well, there's not a middle. It's a very big landscape, but still.
Yeah. No, that would have been cool, too.
Yeah. Either way. That was pretty boss, though. Giant ass Starro.
Yeah, man. Did you see the Suicide Squad teaser that showed Calendar Man for just ever so brief of a second?
I don't think I did. No.
He's like standing next to Double Down.
All right. Like
the dude that peels friggin' playing cards off of his skin. But yeah, Sean Gunn is playing Calendar Man.
Oh, yeah. No, maybe I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just excited. I like the way this looks. Apparently Warner Brothers did ask James Gunn to include Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. They said, listen, we would love it if Margot's in the movie, but she doesn't have to be. You could come up with all new characters or you could keep all the same characters. Which is notable that they would be like, hey, please do this, but you don't have to. Which I'm pretty sure that was part of, like, you know, when they offered him something, he was like, do I have to do what they want me to do? No. Okay. Gunn was talking about people dying in the movies,
mm-hmm.
or in this movie. And he says, it's fun watching people die on screen sometimes. It was really pretty organic choosing. I mean, I had to choose what characters I was going to use from DC, and I had a huge trove of characters to choose from. Some characters I knew were going to die from the beginning, and then other characters I didn't know for sure were going to die. Obviously, I chose some characters that I knew were going to die. See that as the movie plays out. And then some of the characters surprised me. Some of the characters lived that I didn't know for sure were going to live. In a way, it's weird because I love these characters. And in another way, it's weird because I am Amanda Waller. I'm pushing that button on these characters because it serves our purposes as an audience to see them go.
Accurate.
He says, he says some of the characters, especially as you go further into the movie, and some of the deaths later in the film still break my heart every time I watch. There are two characters in particular that when they die, I still get teary-eyed every time I watch the movie. Even when I'm watching those scenes edited, when I was going through them, it still really kills me.
That's encouraging.
It is.
I want that experience. It sounds fantastic.
It does. I love it. It's yeah. I have had that experience, not with anything that was actually produced, but something I was working on writing, and I had fallen in love with the main character so much, and I came up with this really dark backstory, this like really dark incident,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of messed me up, dude. Like, I was just like sitting there like crying, thinking about it. I'm like, I can't do this to this character. I just can't.
Yes, you can.
I can't do it.
Push on.
No, I didn't. I had to erase that from the story. I'm like, no, we can't do that. We're not. Maybe one day what I'm talking about will happen in some way and I'll be able to talk about the original origin.
Yeah.
But we can't do that. Like, I'd get distraught thinking about it now. Like, I kind of want to start crying right now.
Oh.
Anyway.
Go for it, man.
On picking Starro as the villain, Gunn says, I wanted a major DC villain that is a major DC villain that people wouldn't expect to be in a movie. I've always loved Starro. I mean, as a kid, I found Starro completely terrifying. The idea of a giant starfish with one big eye that shoots these things out of him that take over people's brains. Like those old pictures with Superman with him on his face. always scared the shit out of me. So it was about taking something that was completely, mind you, ridiculous, that looks, putting him in a setting that is the gritty streets of Cologne, Panama, and then allowing him to do his scary business. But he's also completely outrageous. And so that mix of things appealed to my aesthetic. I love that kind of shit. That feels like old pulp sci-fi comics to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I love really weird stuff. So I'm excited about that. And I agree with Gunn. And someone asked him on Twitter if he's had any discussions with Warner and DC for another DC project after Peacemaker. And he says, I have, yes. So that's not surprising.
No, it's possibly the least surprising thing I've heard all episode.
Uh-huh. Over to Black Adam, The Rock posted a picture of himself. And they're putting like the little dots, little tracking dots all over his muscles, all over his topless form.
I've seen that.
You have seen that.
Yeah.
He says minutes away from shooting a very cool cutting edge scene for our movie Black Adam. My skilled makeup artist, I cannot say that name, is applying tiny white tracking dots to very specific areas of my body, legs included, so our visual effects team can track and compute my muscle fibers intensely activating and moving while Black Adam is raging to seek and destroy his enemies. This is the final week of production, and the hard work with my training, diet, and conditioning has been relentless. Hardest of my career because I've had to maintain this physical look for months and had to peak in my final week. But our collective goal is to raise the bar with Black Adam, to deliver the anti-hero you've been waiting for and you deserve. Final week of production. The hierarchy of the power in the DC universe is about to change. Do not go gentle. Hashtag Black Adam. Hashtag rage. Hashtag raise the bar. I dig how into this he is.
Dude, that dude shoots for it, man.
And I am very interested to know what they're doing with him, with this computing of muscle fibers.
No, it's just a more complex form of trying to make it look more human.
Yeah. He's like, look, we cannot Scorpion King this shit.
No. I forget what the technology is, but there's new tech on site for this film, and it's presumably gonna be a step forward.
Yeah.
Hope
so.
I forget what the fuck the name is. But yeah, like they you can't say he didn't do his work, man.
Yeah, no, he put in his. He put in his.
That dude looks like a wax sculpture.
Mm-hmm. Now, Black Adam's co-star Sarah Shahi, she's playing Adriana Tomaz in the movie. She says, she told the Hollywood Reporter, she says her version of Adriana will be working as a freedom fighter going up against none other than Intergang.
All right.
We gonna get Intergang.
That'll work.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing in more Jack Kirby shit.
Mm-hmm.
Damn Warner Brothers canceling New Gods. I'm sorry. It just pisses me off.
Yeah, it was one of those things I was never quite sure I was going to see.
Yeah. I had hopes.
I did too.
Now look, The Flash, the new movie, since we've been gone,
mm-hmm.
There have been a lot of set picks, quote unquote, leaked. I don't believe they're actually leaked by anyone other than Warner Brothers. Because, look, man, we've been in a dry spell as far as news is concerned.
Yeah.
And we need to get people excited for this bullshit. To me, the leaked pictures are not, like, heavy spoilers. And I'll say this. There's one person in these leaks that are completely covered up. I can't see these people. I can't make out who they are. But who we have seen, we've seen Michael Keaton. We've seen Michael Keaton's Batmobile. We've seen two Barrys talking to each other. They're both Ezra Miller. Or one of them's a stand-in for Ezra Miller. One of them has long hair. And we've seen Supergirl, which we've seen anyway. And very recently, like yesterday, Ben Affleck's Batman and his version of the Bat Cycle. And yes, it looks like he's got a new costume. That all looks dope. It's clearly not Ben Affleck, because like Ben Affleck isn't, he's not there. He's on a boat grabbing Jennifer Lopez's ass.
Yeah, if the memes are to be believed.
If my celebrity gossip rags are to be believed, yes, that's where he's at. But you could tell in the set pictures, it's not him. It's like a stunt guy. But it's cool. I know there's nothing like mind shattering, nothing like, ooh, spoiler territory. And I don't feel like any of that's happened. I'm excited because it tells me, okay, he's not just going to be Bruce Wayne.
There'll be some bats involved. Yeah.
There will be bats involved. I am a little, you know, I said something about this earlier when Muschietti put out the picture of the Batman Returns, or very similar to Batman Returns Keaton costume. And we've gotten a few shots of the Batmobile now. And I'm just kind of like, man, Bruce upgraded between Batman and Batman Returns. You gonna tell me he got the Batman Returns and then like since like 1992 was just like, nope, we're not doing anything new. Everything looks the same as it did in the 90s. We're gonna have the same car, the same suit.
No, that's why when people change it, like even when like the Flash and CW changes suits between seasons, I love it. I don't always love the suit, but I love it because it's like, man, why would you not keep advancing? You're on the cutting edge of crime fighting. Why would you not be pushing your boundary? Of course, like in my mind, Batman changes his suit like every other week. And I don't just mean like go from, you know, the Rambo suit to the fucking black suit or whatever. I mean, like advances, readapts, the whole thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think Batman would, you know, constantly change and evolve. So yeah,
exactly.
You know, and I'm looking at, you know, the Batfleck Batman. I'm like, yeah, looks like you got on a different suit than you did last time I saw you.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. What you doing, Keaton? You're like 70 and you're wearing the same shit you was wearing in the 90s.
Even Bell asked if he could turn his neck.
I know. So I get it. I get they're like, let's do nostalgia. Because, you know, everybody's going to be disappointed if they don't see, like, that suit and that car. I wouldn't be disappointed because I'm reasonable.
No, I could absolutely deal with not seeing exactly that. Like, of course you want to see an homage. Like, of course you want to see some, you know, hereditary aspects of the suit. But not the same one.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see that he's advanced.
As someone,
fuck, I want the exoskeleton.
Yeah, as someone, no, that exoskeleton, man, I'm good. Let's see something like Batman Beyond.
He's getting older, man. What do you want?
Yeah, but yeah, no, I, you know, as someone who is reasonable, I will say we don't yet know how much the bat suit has changed. We don't know how much that Batmobile, you know, shifts and changes. It could look like the old Batmobile. It could be that he's got another Batmobile and they're just like, hey, check out this old piece of shit I used to drive. Wow, that's cool. Or mm-hmm. I destroyed my Batmobile. Got to go back to the old Betsy or whatever.
Yeah.
Who knows? I'm sure there's...
Old
there's...
Mach 2.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm excited, though. I still want to see the movie. I'm...
nothing could keep me from it.
No. Shazam Fury of the Gods. There's been a set photo that came out that sees Jaimon Hansu is returning as the wizard. I guess some people were surprised by that. I'm like, I mean, shit, you're doing the Fury of the Gods. You're doing the other gods. Or we're going to at least see him in a flashback, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. Over the Aquaman, the Lost Kingdom, man, Jason Momoa said that he was coming back. He was arriving in London for filming. He said he was getting his hair dyed blonde. Everyone freaked out. The quote unquote journalists were headlining saying, Jason Momoa's look changes to a more comic accurate bullshit. Blah, blah, blah. Man, I just saw him like yesterday. He just looked like he did in the other Aquaman movie. And in
Justice League. Some highlights. That's it.
Yeah, just some highlights. It's not a big deal. It's not like he's got gleaming, luminescent hair or something. No. He just looks like Aquaman from the part. But everyone was like, what are they doing? I can't believe they're going to change the character.
No, most drawings of Aquaman, Aquaman are like, he's so blonde, you have to draw in and like ink where the edges are.
Mm-hmm.
He's the other way around. You got to like leave space where the blonde is.
Yeah.
And that's cool. That's cool. I just saw him with the guitar a lot.
Yeah. And I'm just sitting here going like, well, even if he is completely blonde, what the hell does that mean? Can Aquaman not dye his hair? Like, he takes time to get tattoos.
I mean, yeah. And
why not?
I don't know. Like, I remember being in a pool so long when I was a kid that my hair dyed blonde, but I just don't feel like that would apply to him.
Yeah.
Especially with the, you know, the whole ocean situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different deal.
I mean, it would have been cool if, like, in Aquaman, when he got his actual, like, what do you call it? The king dent?
Mm-hmm.
The whatever it's called. If, like, it had, like, sent, like, an energy wave through him and irradiated his hair and he actually went blonde that way. That would have been dope and I would have bought it.
Yeah, and a little bit of that would have been dope, but the other part of me would have been like, what the fuck? What? Science that for me. I don't know what's happening right now.
Why would you need something to be science for you in a film where he is literally riding a giant effing kaiju into battle with crab people?
I said a little bit of me.
The hell is wrong with you?
My suspension of disbelief can handle that load. But it would be crazy for me to not say it was a little bit, you know, fucking crazy.
It wouldn't bother me. Like, the golden energy that's already radiating out of that scepter could just, like, Super Saiyan his ass. It's a comic book world, man. I'm good with him being a Super Saiyan Aquaman. Like, suddenly he is, like, perfectly in touch with everything. He's got the shit in hand. You know, don't quite make him just a blonde, though. Like, you gotta, like, put, like, a sheen to it. Like, he's literally got, like, energy running, like, emanating from his hair.
Right. As one does.
And his eyes. You know, I could see that. I probably wouldn't have done it if I was in charge, but it would have been dope if they had attempted it. And we have a new Barbara Gordon. We have Leslie Grace has been cast for the HBO Max movie Batgirl. I don't know Leslie Grace.
Nope.
She was in a movie called In the Heights.
Oh, that's the Lin-Manuel adaptation that was
okay
on HBO Max, I want to say, for a second.
That would make sense.
Tony Award winning, though.
Well, good. Good for him. That's not a surprise.
I mean,
I'll never see it.
Pretty good at what he does.
It is not my speed, probably.
It's not your speed.
Huh?
Hamilton.
I don't give a shit about Hamilton.
No, I'm just quoting some lyrics that I just shouldn't right now. But
oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I don't know. I don't know her. I'm fine with the casting, I guess. I hope she does a good job. I'll be very interested to see if this is set in, like, the Matt Reeves verse or if it's set in the DCEU or if it's his own thing. We know Christina Hodson is writing it. She also wrote Birds of Prey and the upcoming Flash movie. So, I don't know.
Some part of me is kind of hoping that just they go fuck it all and put everything on the, like, Doom Patrol universe going forward.
I mean, they're doing the multiverse, so.
Oh, I know.
Yes, just, they are.
I mean, in that it technically is, sure. But in that, yeah, going forward, it'd be kind of fun to just see him go with that. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
And I only propose that because I just have so little faith in the plans of the whole multiverse thing. Like, if there is a whiteboard in the Warner Brothers, you know, offices right now, they have failed to tell whoever cleans the offices at night not to erase the whiteboard every day.
Oh, yeah. They don't know.
Yeah.
Here's a little update on the Marvel versus DC thing.
Mm-hmm.
James Gunn. Apparently, he's really into this. He says, I would really be happy to do a Harley Quinn and Groot movie. That would be exciting for me. Not only have I thought about that, but I've actually talked about that to the heads of both Marvel and DC. They know everybody's open to everything, but whether anything would ever happen, who knows? The idea of being able to bring Marvel and DC together in a movie, that would be really fun. And I know it's exciting for even the heads of Marvel and DC to think about. Kevin Feige over at Marvel, Toby Emmerich over at Warner Brothers is something we all like to dream about, whether we can ever get through the barrage, the Berlin Wall of lawyers we would need to get through to ever make something like that happen. I don't know, but it would be a blast. So like, it looks like everybody's on board. It's just they don't know if they can work it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's funny, like, every week since it was initially brought up, James Gunn has been talking about this.
Oh, I'd be into it.
Oh, absolutely. I'd...
Especially those two, right? Fucking yeah. Begrudging Maybe. Family members that it turns out they care more about their family than themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whole, yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, I'm in. Show me where to sign.
Yeah. Now, as we know, and this is a spoiler for Zack Snyder's Justice League. If you haven't seen that, I don't know what to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But
you're probably not listening to this if you haven't seen it.
I would assume, unless you're my wife, who I know hasn't seen it yet. And yeah, you're about to get spoiled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you close your ears, baby?
Yeah.
Just skip ahead. Just skip ahead. Margot Robbie apparently did not know that Harley dies in the Snyder Cut. Someone from Entertainment Weekly like asked her about it. She was like, "What? I didn't know that. Thank you for telling me." She says, "I guess it's kind of like the comics, the film version of the DC universe. I actually think they're a lot like the comics. You pick up one comic and something's happening, and then you pick up the next comic and maybe that character's not alive. Maybe that character's not with that person. Maybe that character looks completely different. Each movie is its own sort of thing, and I think that works in the comic book world. And I think that works in the DC film world as well. It's not like Marvel, where everything is more obviously linked in a more linear way. It feels like there are so many adjacent stories, worlds, and films happening at the same time, just like there are in the comics. So, yeah, I didn't know that, but it doesn't necessarily change what other people are able to do with this universe, I don't think. What one director decides, I don't think dictates what another director might be able to pick up and do with the world and the characters, which is fun. I think that's an appealing aspect for directors in the DC world. They can make it their own. And the way James did, he didn't have to be beholden to the version that David Ayer set up. He could pick it up and make it his own, which I'm sure was more appealing for him. Margot gets it. I think that is what they need to be doing. And yeah, they did say that at least as far as right now is concerned, Zack's version, Zack's Justice League is not canon with the rest of the DCEU. As far as I'm concerned, it is part of the multiverse and it is a thing that has happened. And Zack says it's his own thing and he doesn't necessarily hold Aquaman or any of those others to do exactly what he wanted it to do. So, I think everyone gets that, but Warner Brothers in a weird kind of way. So,
yeah, but that feels right.
It does. I thought this was interesting. David Goyer was talking to THR and, he was talking about how he got into doing Man of Steel. He says, when Chris and I were beating out The Dark Knight Rises, we ran into some issues in the middle of the film. It was a number of things. How Bruce was going to defeat Bane. How he was going to escape the pit and the switch reveal. That the child was actually Talia. Chris and I just hit a wall. And Chris suggested we take a break for a week and put our pencils down. It's counterintuitive because you think you have to keep at it. But often when you have writer's block, it's best to just walk away. Do something completely different. And just hope that your subconscious will come to the rescue. What happened during that week is I ended up rereading the first few years of Action Comics and writing down a two-pager for a Superman movie. So when we came back, Chris said, well, have any ideas? And I said, I've got the Superman movie that has nothing to do with The Dark Knight Rises. That's how Man of Steel happened. We ended up pitching it to Warner Brothers and getting that going.
Nice.
And I just so badly want to be a dick and be like, so you never did figure out those problems in Dark Knight Rises, did you? Like, all of the things he mentioned, I'm like, that tracks. All things that just wound up feeling like they went, fuck it, I don't know, just write something down.
So you did abandon that movie for, I think, a substantially better movie. Okay, cool. I can live with you there.
Did you figure it out? Nah, we'll get it in post. What do you mean? Just, we'll get it in post. We'll get it in post.
Brennan, we never get it in post. We'll get it in post.
Now, Goyer did say, this was just mind-boggling. Goyer said, one note I got on Man of Steel, where the ending involves Superman utilizing the pod that he arrived in as a child in order to bring down General Zod's ship. The note we got from the studio said, you have to change that. We asked why. They said, because if Superman uses that pod and it's destroyed while saving the city, how is he ever going to get back home to Krypton?
Yeah, I read that.
There was just this long pause and we said, Krypton blew up. You saw 30 minutes of it. I saw that and I was in Montgomery with my mom and I said, Mom, let me ask you something. You hate Superman. And she said, yep. And I said,
yep, that tracks for me. What you got?
I said, why is Superman on Earth though? In like every version. She was like, because Krypton blew up, right? I was like, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Point proven. Even someone who loathes the character, who does not read the comics.
No.
Who won't watch a Superman movie out of all the spite in the world because she hates the character. He's just too cheesy for her.
Just a deeply, no, not deeply general audience person, but someone who's almost arbitrarily steeped against the Superman universe. Yes. And still mm-hmm. knows that that is integral. And also, by the way, wasn't asked as a product of their fucking job to have read said script.
Or have someone who has watched the first 30 minutes of it.
I can't stress that part enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what series, I assume, of miscommunications happened? What grapevine fucking bullshit? One person was giving a task and then they delegated to another. And what the absolute fuck happened? What the proper fuck went down so that you did not understand that the first 30 minutes of the movie had a definitive ending for the homeland of the character that was the main guy in the rest of the fucking movie? I don't know how to do with that. I just don't.
It was why Zod and company were on the planet. We're on Earth because Krypton blew up. Mm-hmm. There is no Krypton. He wants to recreate Krypton.
And the only reason that they were even there was because they only escaped because of the Phantom Zone, and that was on the perimeter of the film. And I
don't understand.
Yeah.
But look, here's the thing. I've given David Goyer a lot of shit. Not personally, never spoken to the man. But on this show, I've talked a lot of shit about David Goyer.
I have too.
I'm not a big fan. I don't really care for David Goyer's work. And more than that, I don't care for his attitude. You know, there's a lot of things he said, particularly about Martian Manhunter.
Well, there are many things going back that now I wonder, like in the historical context. You know, mm-hmm. how much shit did we give him that he did or didn't deserve?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And that's kind of where I'm going with this because, you know, he was talking in this interview and he said the tricky thing with writers, particularly in film, less so in television, is you have to have written roughly 1/3 of a film in order to get credit. But someone else could have written 25%. Someone else could have written 20%, and someone else could have written 15%. So you can end up being the only credited writer but 70% of the script isn't yours. So I definitely have projects that I have worked on where I'm the sole credited writer, yet I've been taken to task for elements in the film that I actively did not write, for scenes that I fought against and I was fired. So that is frustrating.
Yeah.
No, and now I feel bad.
There's a whole arbitration process. But I mean, because we thought, given the correlations and context, that there were parts of the whole Darknet series that we didn't love.
Well, I don't think he was fired from those. But.
No, I just mean that that was part of what was the seed, I think, for us. And then going into Gotham and Constantine, which I believe he was attached to in both of those.
No, Krypton and Constantine.
There you go. Thank you. We just, we were both weary about Constantine.
Yeah, he knew I'd wind up loving that shit.
Yeah, I know. I didn't expect it either, but I watched the first episode and was like, I don't know what to do with this, but this is fantastic.
Yeah, Krypton was pretty damn good, too.
Krypton was great, too. There was a lot going on in that time. And there was a period where he was helping develop shows where, his name was just on some stuff that we didn't have a good taste in our mouth for. And, I think we just misjudged it, looking back now, about how much he was probably directly responsible for, at least.
I didn't misjudge Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, no.
Everything he just said, I was like, yep.
No, every part of that, I will hold an open public debate right now about that film, for sure. Anybody.
Yeah.
We'll do this.
The reason I decided to share that was, one, I find it deeply interesting. Two, maybe let's stop attacking people online. You don't know. You don't know what they fought against or what they tried to, change. And at the end of the day, even if David Goyer is a little bit of a dick sometimes and doesn't like Martian Manhunter, which I can't wrap my brain around, but whatever.
He just didn't like that he was extremely powerful in ways that didn't quite make sense. They weren't cogent powers. And he's right as far as that goes. I mean, dude has telepathy and can phase shift. Yeah, that's kind of fucked up. I wouldn't want to fight him.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't want to. Anyway, we are going to jump to a break. And when we return, we are getting into some TV stuff. And we are back. And the first thing I'm going to talk about is there was a report from Collider, and it's just too interesting not to talk about for a minute. Michael B. Jordan is apparently, with his production company Outlier Society, working on a Superman title for HBO Max, which will probably be a limited series. And it is not attached to the J.J. Abrams... Ta-Nehisi Coates Black Superman project. This is going to be following Val Zod, a character from the Superman comics who has always been depicted as black, and that's very specifically like a thing that Michael B. Jordan was insistent about, because they were like, okay, so sources close to Black Nerd Girls have indicated that he wasn't into the Abrams Coates project, because it will be focusing on a black version of Kal-El Superman. And according to those sources, Jordan believed that simply casting a black actor to play Kal-El would take away from a character like Val Zod, who was created to be a black character from the jump. I do agree with him on that.
Oh yeah. No, we've said this before. If we're going to do this, let's do this.
Yeah. And, he said before, years ago, and I remember that report, or maybe not years, but at least months, at least more than a year ago.
It feels like a year and some change.
It does. But there was like at least more than a year ago where Michael B. Jordan was asked if he would be a black Superman. And he was like, maybe if it was Val Zod.
Yeah.
So all of this seems likely.
Yeah. No, it all tracks.
Now, we don't know if he would be playing the character. We only know he's producing.
That's fine.
But
I think he should.
I think he should, too. Like, I want to see Val Zod.
Fucking kill
I
want to
see Michael B. Jordan play Val Zod. Absolutely.
That's a fuck you, take my money all day scenario.
Absolutely. This is the kind of shit I really want to see. Like, I this is one of the reasons I love Zach's Justice League and his universe so much. Like, it doesn't have to be the DCEU. Let someone come in and, like, do their version of a character. Let's do a limited series. I don't want, you know, 7 or 8 seasons of big bad of the season, big bad of the week. I want a story, beginning, middle, end. I want there to be a roadmap. I want to see a take on a character, and I want to move the hell on. That's just my preference. I think you get way more interesting stuff.
Oh yeah,
that way. All right. Over to Peacemaker. James Gunn has announced Peacemaker season 1 has wrapped production after 131 days.
Mm-hmm.
He did say, by the way, John stole his outfit. I just want to tell everybody that we've asked him, because after we shot the Suicide Squad, we shot the Peacemaker show, and I kept telling him to quit taking the outfit. I know it doesn't look like it's that expensive, but these costumes are tens of thousands of dollars to put together. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping for a season 2, and now HBO's not going to give it to us because we're over budget. I love that John Cena keeps stealing the outfit. That is hilarious to me. That just... it's like a brazen version of what Shatner was doing on Star Trek all these years ago. Like Herb Solo said, and I think it was Herb Solo's book, that every year they had to spend more money to like create toupees because Bill Shatner stole the freaking toupee at the end of every season. Because
they were fantastic, bro.
He was like, yo, I want those nice toupees.
Yeah. There was a, like Timothy Oliphant said a few times that like he just steals his clothes all the time. Mm-hmm. I think he was on Conan one time. He was like, no, seriously, they're like the shirt I'm wearing right now. there are production tags under it.
Yeah.
Like, all right, that's a pain in the ass, I'm sure, in some way that I don't have the context to perceive, but that's kind of funny.
Let's talk about the season 3 trailer for Titans.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
New season is coming August 12th, mm-hmm, by the way, mm-hmm. So we're not that far off.
Nah, looking forward to that.
Oh, my dear Lord, be a better Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we got to see Joker off in the distance beating the shit out of Jason Todd. We got to see Tim Drake in the restaurant hearing the news of Jason's death. I loved Barbara Gordon being like, you know how crazy that is? Keep trying to step into your father's shoes. And then Dick's like, I do, Commissioner Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
I love, you know, Batman retiring, trying to pass the mantle on to Dick. I love all the Red Hood stuff. Man.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Jonathan Crane sounds so creepy. The king moves stealthily in the shadows while the pawns are sent into the teeth of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Man.
I'm down.
And this one goes out to Stu. This one goes out to Stu.
I know a lot of people.
I just hope they stick the ending.
Oh, fuck yes.
I feel so bad. Hashtag Stu Olympics. Hates that shit so much. Stu Little hates that shit. He's so annoyed with people saying, I hope that the Titans never sticks the ending.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't. So
no, it's been a problem.
They haven't so far.
It really has been a problem.
But now it's just, I know it bothers them, so I you know I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
Oh.
Stick the shivving.
So yeah, they released an extended trailer for Stargirl season 2. It is not very different. There's a little new footage. I feel like there's a little bit more of them being like, you know, Courtney, you got to focus on school. I don't know. It's barely worth watching. I think it's just better probably to wait until August 10th when Stargirl premieres. Still looks dope. I'm still down for it. but I didn't really recognize that much of a difference.
Nah, no. I'll just watch it. It's gonna be an early, like, August is almost bereft of kind of celebrations in a lot of ways. But
yeah,
I like it as a premiere date month.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Not a lot going on. Like, you know, you don't have holidays to plan around.
Yeah, not a lot. And quite honestly, I look forward to I'm happy that most of the shows that I have not been enjoying very much this season are over. And August will bring shows that look like I will enjoy them.
Probably. I've got so much catching up to do.
You do have catching up to do. By the way, The Flash Season 7 is now streaming on Netflix, so no commercials.
Good stuff.
No more dealing with the CW app, which is a huge hindrance.
Yeah, that's actually most of the reason I'm not caught up. I've just lost the will to put up with those fucking commercials.
Mm-hmm. And Batwoman Season 2 is now streaming on HBO Max. Mm-hmm. So we got that going. Weird bit of news. Victoria Cartagena is coming back as Renee Montoya on Batwoman. She previously played the character in the first season of Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the character isn't connected in storyline in any way. In Batwoman Season 3, Cartagena's Montoya is a former GCPD officer who left the force when she could no longer stomach the corruption inside the department. She now runs the Freaks Division, which hasn't seen a lot of action until now. Righteous and pragmatic and LGBTQ+, she's a woman with a very personal and mysterious mission to help clean the streets of Gotham in the right way, by whatever means necessary. I'm assuming we'll see her be playing the Question at some point.
I hope so. God, I hope so.
I mean, it's a personal and mysterious mission.
Well, that was the... yeah, I mean, yeah. That was the whole hope when we saw those two on Gotham was like,
absolutely. Cool.
So, Question, Inspector, on the way.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. No.
Maybe one of them. Maybe. Maybe... Dude, it would take 4 seconds of screen time and like two lines to tie them into the entire universe. Yep. Hopefully they do it.
The actress said, I guess Renee Montoya and I have some unfinished business. So very excited to join this new group of talented artists, writers, and crew who are doing their thing over here. They have welcomed me wholeheartedly. So yeah. And then they announced that Nick Cregan will be joining Batwoman Season 3. And he is previously known for his work in Law and Order Organized Crime and David Makes Man. And he is set to play Marquis Jett, or Marquis Jett, who is described as a sexy playboy who grew up in a lavish lifestyle. Marquis is too charming for his own good and wields his power with a ne'er-do-well attitude. He views life as one big joke, and that sense of recklessness has a tendency to clash horribly with his no-nonsense mother, Jada Jett, played by Robin Givens.
Sure.
When he meets Ryan, he sees in her a like-minded young go-getter who, like him, is just waiting for the right opportunity to make his mark on Gotham. I don't know the guy. I don't watch Law & Order, or I haven't seen any of his stuff.
It's been a while.
I've seen a lot of people happy about this casting, though. So that's cool.
Yep.
Did you get a chance to see this new Supergirl trailer that they released yesterday, I guess?
Nope.
Would you like for me to send you a link?
Nope.
Fair enough.
I mean, look, I say that because I am.
I know. That's why I asked.
So far behind.
You are so far behind. Mm-hmm. It don't look good to me. I'm so sorry. I wanted it to just knock my dick in the dirt, and it just didn't. I don't know what I'm looking at. I'm looking at some rough shots and some rough dialogue, honestly. And maybe Superman and Lois has just spoiled the shit out of me because that show is so good. I don't know what's happening, but I don't know, but I did enjoy the trailer, the trailer for The Legends of Tomorrow for the rest of season six. Did enjoy that. It looks out there and insane, like Legends of Tomorrow always does. By the way, August 24th is when Supergirl comes back and starts to finish up their final season. And also from Comic-Con at home, we got the news that John Constantine is not returning for season seven of Legends of Tomorrow. But Matt Ryan is staying around. Matt Ryan is going to start playing a character named Dr. Gwen Davies, who is characterized as an eccentric scientist from the early 20th century who might be the team's only hope next season. And we don't know what it's going to be about. And I guess we've wondered, like a lot of people are wondering, if this is some sort of mandate from DC to say, like, you got to get rid, or Warner Brothers to say, you got to get rid of John Constantine because J.J. Abrams wants to use him in Justice League Dark. Because apparently some of that shit is still going on. Yeah,
layover from the dying days.
I don't understand it, but that's about it. I don't understand it. It's stupid.
I would hope there's some initiative on the part of the creatives that is driving this.
Yeah, I don't know. Phil Klemmer said, he's the executive producer. He says, while John Constantine's on the arc on the show is coming to an end in season six, Matt Ryan's journey with the Legends is not over. And Matt Ryan said, as everyone who loves him knows, in the end, John Constantine will walk his path alone. The time has come for John to part ways with the Legends and for me to part ways with John. I'm really excited to be creating this new role in the show and having some fun with it, discovering how this new character fits in and causes some trouble for the Legends.
Look, that being said, I'm just happy we had that much time with his Constantine, and also kind of curious about what else he's gotten up, you know, got up his sleeve.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they're doing.
I just haven't had time to click over and like see what else Matt Ryan is capable of. Cause honestly, this is my entire experience with him as this character. Mm-hmm. And he's been fantastic. I've loved it. Fantastic range, but I don't know. I'd be curious. I'd be really curious to see what he's got.
Sure. I'm interested.
I'm not fighting it.
And here's some interesting news. And I'm interested to see where it's going. I'm going to take it as good news for now. Apparently, Amy Louise Pemberton, who's been voicing Gideon all this time, and she's shown up in the flesh a few times, two or three times in the show. She's going to be on the show in as Flesh and Blood Gideon, I guess, as a series regular.
Cool.
Next season. I don't remember being upset about that at all when she showed up.
Mm-mm. No, she did great. I remember that episode. It was fantastic.
Yeah. So, I think that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually enjoy Legends on some level. I don't hold it to the scrutiny of the other shows.
No, that's what we've learned from Beepo.
Yeah, they made their very strange bed, and now they're wallowing in it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so they did announce the Injustice movie, the animated Injustice movie. They've announced the cast. We've got Justin Hartley as Superman. Freaking Ollie Queen from Smallville, man.
Mm-hmm.
Anson Mount as Batman. I'm very curious to see what Anson Mount does. Christopher Pike himself from Discovery and Strange New Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Laura Bailey as Lois Lane. And Rama Krishna. I don't know her. Zach Callison as Damian and Jimmy Olsen. Brian T. Delaney as Green Lantern. Michael Brandon Hall as Cyborg. Cyborg, always good. Edwin Hodge as Mr. Terrific and Killer Croc. Oliver Hudson as Plastic Man. Gillian Jacobs as Harley Quinn. Not crazy about that choice. I'm very curious what she'll bring to it, but she kind of annoys me.
We'll see. Super curious about that.
I'm really curious about it. I'm just not enthusiastic about it.
I'm so curious. I'm enthusiastic.
I think her character on Community may have ruined her for me on everything else. Like, Britta was the worst.
No, I feel like your experience with her, I feel like, is best summed up. Was it Jeff who at some point in like season five or so just kind of barks at her like, when I met you, I thought you were smarter than me.
Yeah.
And then the show just went a different way, and they wrote her character in entirely different places.
Yeah, she's just a generally for me plays very obnoxious characters.
Possibly, but in her own way, Harley is pretty precisely that.
Yeah, that is true. I did listen to Gillian Jacobs on Mark Maron's podcast mm-hmm. and thought, well, she's delightful.
Oh, she is. Yeah. No, I mean, deeply personable. But I don't know, man. I think that may be, it may be really good casting in a way.
It might be. We'll see. Yuri Lowenthal is Mirror Master, Flash, and Shazam. Mm-hmm. Derek Phillips is Nightwing and Aquaman. Kevin Pollak as Joker and Jonathan Kent. Anika Noni Rose as Catwoman, Reed Scott as Green Arrow, and Victor Zsasz. Farron Tahir as Ra's al Ghul, Fred Tatasciore as Captain Atom, and Janet Varney as Wonder Woman, which is very interesting. And Andrew Morgado as Mirror Master Soldier. I liked Janet Varney in Stand Against Evil.
Yes.
I don't know from anything else.
Kevin Pollak Joker might be the hidden favorite of mine, though, of all of these. That dude's vocal gifts are deeply underrated.
Yeah, I see his name a lot. I can't place him.
He's a character actor.
Sure.
Had some, like, an early stand-up career.
Oh, shit, the Christopher Walken guy.
Yes, the Christopher Walken guy. He's also the guy that literally played Lenny Bruce doing a Lenny Bruce set at Carnegie Hall at some point to reproduce the set. Yeah, dude. He's in Miss Maisel now.
Yeah, he did his version of, like, one of his famous bits Shatner on.
Oh, on he does the a fantastic Shatner.
Yeah, it's like his version of Star Trek 5 or 6 or whatever mm-hmm, it is, mm-hmm. And like they've replaced all of the actors because negotiations were going on for Star Trek 5. So like he wrote a whole bit with all of his or a bunch of his different like famous celebrity characters, where he's like, you know, everyone's taken on the roles of the crew of the Enterprise. So it's like Christopher Lloyd as Spock and Robin Williams as whoever, Scotty. I don't even remember. Mm-hmm. No. It was Dudley Moore of Scotty.
Nice. Yeah.
It's a fantastic bit. Look it up. Yeah, I know that guy. The Usual Suspects, and mm-hmm. Dude's been a ton of stuff. Ton of stuff. I knew the name somehow, but I'm like, I don't know.
One of those guys you know way better than you think you know.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. He tells a great story about being at a party with Christopher Walken, and Walken's like, it's clearly now. I've been abandoned. Those bastards. They left. Mm-hmm. Something like that. It's so good. It's so good.
I remember that. I do remember that. Somebody gets left by a car. I can't remember.
Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, is apparently coming to HBO Max. It's going to be arriving there on August 3rd. It ran for 88 episodes over 4 seasons. Yes. This is the show that was from 93 to 97 and starred Dean Cain as Clark Kent and Superman and Terry Hatcher as Lois Lane. I understand Dean Cain is a dick.
Yeah, that's just the state of it right now. Yeah.
Yep. Might still give the show a watch. It's been forever since I saw the show.
I mean, I was
a lad.
Yeah. It wasn't in syndication. I watched the original air. Episodes here and there when I could get to them, and have not seen it since.
Yep. Show introduced Cat Grant to the mainstream audience for the first time. Heavily featured people like Jimmy Olsen and Perry White. And here's a thing I didn't know. Okay. Before the show was about to premiere, the writers of the Superman comics were going to marry off Superman and Lois. The network, though, pitched a fit because they didn't like the idea of doing a will they, won't they story on their show around characters who were already married in the comics. And they asked that the comics delay the wedding until it could be planned with the series.
Mm.
So that left a huge chunk of time in the writing schedule, and they had to fill it with something. And guess what they filled it with?
They killed him.
The death of Superman. Yeah. You're right.
I remember that time.
So if this piddling Superman show on ABC or whatever it was hadn't pitched a bitch.
I thought it was on TNT.
Oh no, no. TNT, like that was the, those were the reruns. Like the show actually ran on like network TV.
Well, fuck. Maybe I did watch it in two reruns in first and run. Not original.
Yeah, no, I remember when it went to TNT. That was later. So yeah, if they hadn't done that, we would have never had the death of Superman. Probably never would have seen Doomsday.
Well, like, I don't know. Mullet I don't know.
Superman would I mean, have been a thing.
That I'm not sure that would be like we never would have,
mm-hmm.
because that's the kind of story. Like as big and grand as that tale is, like somebody went, here's my chance, and pitched a mm-hmm. story.
I really wish, because Lois and Clark totally ends on a cliffhanger. And I've talked about this cliffhanger for years.
Mm-hmm.
They were like a freaking super baby winds up on their doorstep. I want so badly, HBO Max, please, for the love of God, do a sequel movie or a limited series that is set in this universe and just like adapt that great graphic novel, like Elseworlds graphic novel, like Son of Superman. Don't even have Superman in the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's all about his kid and this kid that he raised, this Kryptonian kid that he raised, and bring back Terry Hatcher. We don't even have to deal with Dean Cain. Let's just do this and wrap this son of a bitch and show up. Anyway, one more piece of news. I'm excited about it. I know you probably won't care, but the complete series of Smallville, the 20th anniversary edition, first time ever that the entire series has been on Blu-ray, has been announced. It's coming out October 19th, 2021. All 218 episodes, over 28 hours of bonus features from all 10 seasons, plus an included digital copy that can be redeemed on Movies Anywhere. I don't, like, it doesn't look like any of the new bonus features are actually created for the 20th anniversary collection. They're all from the previous DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
But just the fact that it's like, you got digital download and that it's all blue, like all the shows, like every season is Blu-ray suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I want that set. It is a pretty looking box too, man. Like I've got all the Arrowverse on Blu-ray.
Have they pitched a price for this hoe yet?
I haven't seen a price yet.
It's going to be big.
It's probably going to be big. Yeah. I said I was going to buy it because I want it. Mm-hmm. I just said I want it real bad.
I'm going to randomly guess $84.99.
That seems low. Mm-hmm. If it was $84.99, I would gladly shell that out.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Like, I remember when they put out the complete series set of Smallville on DVD, another very pretty box.
Mm-hmm.
It was something like in the $300 range.
Yeah, that's true.
And I just never could muster that at once to throw at a TV show.
Yeah. No, it's either going to be like affordable and, you know, let's put it out, or it's going to be like $470.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, it is on HBO Max. I will watch it here. Because at this point, like just I'll print a pretty Smallville box and just put it on my shelf next to the Arrow stuff and be like, we're going to pretend that's physical media,
mm-hmm.
but it is not.
Mm-hmm. But it'll do.
It will do. It will do, Donkey.
Mm-hmm.
That's our show. That's everything I've got. Did you have anything that you really, that, you know, the Lord had laid on your heart or
no.
Anything?
No. Heart's plain empty.
Cool. I've known that about you for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday in advance. Tomorrow's your birthday.
Yeah, thanks.
Another thing I know you don't give a shit about.
And more as the years go by, we're like, the wife's like, hey, so this has to happen and this has to happen on Thursday. And, okay, cool. That sounds right. That sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So it'll just be like a regular day, but slightly shittier. Yeah, that's cool. That'll just be my birthday. That works.
I'm so sorry, man.
We have really bad luck with holidays around here.
I feel so bad for you, man.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, fuck trying to take a vacation. Somebody's going to get injured.
Yeah. Somebody. It's going to be your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife is going to be injured.
Yep.
That's what's going to happen.
That's the one.
And it's not because of you. I want to stress that to the listeners right now. Is
no, nobody is choking anyone out.
No.
It's a mixture of misfortune and a slight proclivity to clumsiness.
Yeah. The fact that it's attributed to clumsiness so often with like healthcare professionals, I am worried that they might be looking at you going, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right. How'd you break her foot this time, Mr. Goss? Well, I said, no.
We were walking.
Tell Hershey's not to wear heels.
Yeah. Oh, this one cracked me up. We get the daughter's in daycare for the moment. Probably not. Uh-huh. Possibly not much more going forward. But not because of what I'm about to say.
Okay.
You know, there's like you get incident reports if something happens. And,
okay.
You know, she's getting to be around other kids a lot for the first time. And like, apparently she's like smacked a toy out of somebody's hand and stuff. And
yeah.
Well, you know, kids are kids. And
that's good. She's not taking any shit. I took shit when I was in school.
No, I mean, we're going to talk to her about like, that's not nice and stuff like that. And that's all well and good. That's growing pains. The one that cracked me up.
You know what else isn't nice, mom and dad? Harassment.
Yeah.
That's.
Bullies be bad.
They taking my shit? I'm not taking that.
The one that really just blew my mind. We got an incident report. Was like, she was running. She was holding hands and running with another student, I guess I'll call it. Mm-hmm. And the other student didn't run quite as fast and fell down. And then we got an incident report saying that she should be more careful with her friends. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
that sounds excessive in their incident. That's an abuse of the incident
report. I felt like it was. I'm open to any interpretations that bullshit. Aren't that. But they were like, it felt like they were skipping through the fields and somebody fell behind and they were like, how dare you leave them? I just didn't know what to do with that. I'm deeply open to any interpretations of that scenario that I have not considered. But not that I've considered that many. That was my entire interpretation too. Is I looked at it and went, well, that sounds like bullshit. Who's this writing this up? I don't like her at all.
Yeah. It sounds like someone who's going, you know, somewhere deep inside going, I was never as fast as the other kids either. Sons of bitches. You're getting an incident report.
It's possible. I don't know.
And I realize I'm making like movements and you can't, no one can see because this is audio.
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine me like furiously typing on a typewriter, that like an old style typewriter that's like for some reason set really closely up to my neck.
Right. I am Angela Lansbury style, you know.
More like the guy like, whoever the person, I don't remember who it was.
So, I'm thinking like one of those shots in the last part where if I remember, they do like several shots like the where production. She's behind it. Yeah.
See, I was thinking like there's a bit where like you see the guy on the typewriter with the production company logo, and then like the piece of paper flies off and makes the logo.
Oh yeah, no, like that? Yeah, like in Night Court, that whatever production company that was.
Okay.
I think that was the logo for the Night Court people.
I didn't remember. I remembered it with Murder, She Wrote, not Night Court.
But could have been both. Would have been around the same time.
Production company with typewriter man.
that might actually
be. Yes. Stephen J. Cannell production logo. Yeah.
There you go.
That was on the Rockford Files, the A-Team, and 21 Jump Street. The company's logo was known as Guy on Typewriter. and showed Kennell smoking a pipe while intensely typing.
And the pages fly out the back. A sheet
of paper. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like one of them flies up and it shows the production company. I remember the logo.
Yeah, man.
Who all was that attached to, though?
Let's see. Da 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 da.
Hey, by the way, if you're done listening to DC News, just fucking turn it off now. We're done.
Yeah, we're done for that.
We'll wrap up in a second. Thank you for listening. Blah blah blah. We're just gonna get to the bottom of this mystery real quick, and then we'll actually turn off.
Yeah, the Rockford Files, the A Team, Renegade, the Greatest American Hero, 21 Jump Street, the Commish. I'm assuming there's more. Let's see, Ironside, the DA, Adam 12.
I'm just waiting Chase, for like the Columbo, first thing I remember that would have had that logo.
Toma, Switch, Beretta. City of Angels, 1976, Richie Brockelman, Private Eye, Baba Black Sheep, The Duke, Stone, 10 Speed and Brown Shoe, The Quest, The Rousters, The A-Team, Hardcastle and McCormick, Hunter, Riptide, The Last Precinct, Stingray, JJ Starbuck, Wise Guy, Sonny Spoon, Unsub, Top of the Hill, Booker. That was a spinoff of 21 Jump Street. Mm-hmm. Broken Badges, Always Remember I Love You, The Great Pretender, Street Justice, Silk Stockings. Do you remember Silk Stockings?
I remember the title. That's it.
I remember, you know, wanting to watch it as a teenager, but I never saw it.
I mean, for me, that was Dream Annie. On.
Right. I like Dream On. That was good.
It was.
The 100 Lives of Black Jack Savage, The Commish with your buddy, Michael Chiklis, Palace Guard, Personals, Renegade, The Hat Squad, Missing Persons, Cobra, Caesar's Challenge, Traps, Hawkeye, Marker, Prophet. I mean,
we are way past anything I would have recognized.
Yeah. I mean, I would have known from the A-Team and the Rockford Files.
There's a small definitely. Chance that I recognized it from the A-Team, but small. I think I saw like 12 episodes.
Yeah. I
mean, I remember seeing the van fly over shit.
Right.
Like, I think they retired every van they ever did that stunt with.
Probably. But yeah, I would have known it from definitely those two. The A-Team and... the other thing
Rockford
that I said Rockford Files, that's it.
I don't think I watched any Rockford Files. Well, if anything, I might have, because they used to play those things like right before the episode. If anything, I saw that like coming up to a few episodes and went no, not interested, and just thought the intro was neat.
Now see, like I'm pretty sure I probably saw it more often. Something else that I was going to watch was about to come on, and I switched over that channel, and the end credits for something else that I didn't watch playing.
That's a real possibility.
And that logo popped up, and I was like, oh, that's neat. Like, that logo is one of the reasons I want to be a writer. It stuck in my head where I was just like, oh, man, look at it. I'm just typing that shit out. Look at the page turn into a logo. Ah, it's sexy. Smoking a pipe.
Yeah.
But I'm real dumb.
No, I mean, I get it. I like the, I don't know. I remembered it.
Yeah. You can find every episode of DC On Screen on DCOnScreen.com. You can connect with us at DC On Screen on Twitter. You can also connect with me at David C. Robertson on Twitter. You can connect with Jason at Duck Duck Goss. And you can check out my art on Instagram at Drawing with Dave. Those are the pertinent plugs, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening. And until next week, keep some DC on your screen. Our intro music is by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band, Galactic Engineers of Magnetic Sounds, or GEMS, can be found on SoundCloud and Bandcamp. Visit DCOnScreen.com to find our Patreon, merch, contact information, and every episode of the show for free, including crossovers we've done with other podcasts. DC Offscreen is a maladjusted production. For more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy, vlogs, parodies, and our improvised web series Hey Guy, visit maladjusted.tv.